The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this February 17th, 2022, Thursday. Now, tonight, folks, this is our pledge week. But we have suspended Pledge Week here for the next couple of days because of very, very inclement weather. We have ice storms up here today, and it's nasty. It's very, very nasty, and I did not want to get the crew out into the station to man all the phones. In fact, little Lisa took a fall and whacked her head on the bumper of the car, and so... on the ice. I mean, it got pretty nasty. And so we're going to suspend that, and we're going to pick it up next week. We'll have we'll make the difference up in a few days next week. But tonight, we have a very, very fast-paced program. Now, if you can still help us by sending a donation, we'll give you the address. And if you want to do that, and if you don't get the newsletter, you really should ask for the newsletter. So... that's where we're at tonight. Tonight we have, with me, of course, we have Courageous Craig on the board.
Hello, everybody.
Now we have Pastor Joe Larson.
I'm here, ready to go to work, ice or no.
Yep, and we should have John Holman.
He hasn't
called
in yet.
Okay, Holman is not with us yet. Okay, so anyhow, we're going to pick it up where we left off, and that would be... the title of the message was The Black-Robed Regiment Marches On. And we were talking about how, we gave a little history of the Black-Robed Regiment as we started out. And we need to get pastors again. I'm seeing some good signs. I'm seeing some courageous pastors, which we need. And by the way, folks, pastors are the people that are required. They're the ones that are supposed to lead the people. They're supposed to be the shepherds to lead the flock. And all of these things talking about pastors should not be involved in politics, you couldn't be farther wrong. That could not possibly be farther off, okay, than that. We are to be involved in everything, okay, where it comes to we're to be salt and we're to be light. And so here we're to lead. We're to lead that. And some of us have done that for years. Others have stayed as comfortable as they could possibly stay. And so, but we're going to pick it up where we left off. And we left it off in some commentary. And that's where we're going to pick it up tonight. And we're going to start with, we will never, ever accept the child abuse of the woke PC public fool system. And Joe, that's been a you and I have really had a problem with the public fool system over the years, haven't we?
We certainly have. We've been fighting it, telling people to either get their children out, get them in Christian school, homeschool, combination of both. All we're doing is losing our children to the liberal, the communist, socialist agenda.
And, you know, I've had parent after parent after parent after parent say to me, Pastor, what is going on? What has happened? And I tell them, for years and years and years, we've been telling you folks to get your kids out of the public school system. They're nothing but hardcore indoctrination centers of cultural Marxism. And what's happened? You send them there, and they everything, all of your values and your biblical principles, they pull out, you know. That's their job. I remember one time it was picked up, and they were showing you on C-SPAN how, it was C-SPAN, it was in communist Castro, Cuba, where the teachers were indoctrinating the children. And so they had all the children in the room, and they said, now, we want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray to Jesus for some food. And so all the kids bowed their head, and they prayed there. And then they said, well, now open your eyes. And there was no food.
There's no food there. Oh.
They said Jesus didn't produce. Now, close your eyes, bow your head, and pray to Fidel Castro. And while the kids were praying, of course, the teacher would go around.
And brought out food.
And put food on their desks. And so that was shown here by the communists in this country. And, of course, many of these thought that was a good idea. Some of them picked it up, doing the same thing. And so here, they're the Antichrist. It's a part of the Antichrist world system. Now, I know, Joe, I've had people say, well,
I was going to say, starting clear back in 1983, I remember doing this quote. The battle for mankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom. The classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism. From the Humanist Magazine, John J. Dunphy, January 1983.
Well, here,
it's worse after that.
Yeah, it does. But one of the things you hear often is, well, My school system, our school system's not that bad. Okay, well, and usually the ones out in the country, the little country schools, they're not as bad as the ones in the public school for the most part, but they're all bad. Okay,
right.
You have the NEA, the teachers' unions, the curriculum in there, the woke curriculum, and so. But we, since 1970, have been telling people, well, to get your kids out of the public school system. If you love them, get them out of there, because they're going to teach you, and like they're telling them now, you should go home. If your parents are white, go home and tell them they need to apologize for being white, and why did you have to make us white? I mean, see, this again.
Yeah, apologize for being what God made you. Right. That sounds totally antichrist, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, but you see,
it is.
Now parents are starting to wake up and see, the woke people thought, you know, we've got it, we're over the hill, we have won this, we're going to pour down, we're going to go all out, we are going to put them under complete and total communism. And what happened was the parents started to wake up, and and I think what threw it over, Joe, was the masking, making the children wear their masks. And when the kids started coming home crying because they were white kids and they were told that they need to apologize, I think that kind of set it over the edge. And the parents started saying, hey, wait a minute, what is going on here? What is going on? And when Bobby came home and said, you know, I'm really not Bobby, I'm Barbara. My teacher told me, I'm really not a boy, I'm a girl. So I think that is what finally woke him up. Now,
isn't it horrible that that's what it took, with all the things that you were telling people, all the things that I was telling people, all kinds of other people out there, that I could spend 20 minutes talking about the people that were involved in the movement and fighting who am I thinking of? Dr. John Stormer was out there like you way before everybody else years and years.
I knew John Stormer. I knew him, yeah.
He was quite a guy, wasn't he?
He was one of our UBF guys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I got to know him and meet him several times and work with
him. You know what amazed me about him? He was about 90 years old, and he looked like he was 60 years old.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was so young-looking. It was like, yeah, when he said how old he was, everybody went, no, come on, you're kidding. And then when he said, this is when I did this and this is when I did that, he thought, good Lord, you know, oh, you really are that old.
Yeah, but he wrote...
God did bless him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he wrote a number of books about the public fool system, yeah.
Yeah, and about treason against the government, but... That's what I'm saying. It was, there was
none so dare call people. It treason.
There were so many people out there speaking out, writing books, giving speeches, warning people, and the people did not want to listen. The public fool system was made. They made it the center of the community, and that was kind of the secret. It was where you could go and see all the cute little kindergartners singing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" without any teeth, you know. And they, it can't be a bad place. It's just the heart and soul of every town in America, you know, and that was the big lie. But if you told people, would you send your child to Satan to be educated? Oh, no. Well, you are. And then they call us radical and, you know, other words.
Well, you say, Joe, listen, you know, here's something. Sometimes where common sense comes in, like an example, let me give you an example, Joe. Now, if I didn't know anything else about these bioweapons, these poisonous pokes, but I knew one thing, that the number one profession that refuses the poisonous pokes, the number one profession that marched and refuses the poisonous pokes was the medical personnel, doctors and nurses. So if I didn't know anything else, I would say, wait a minute, these are the people that administer these things, and if they refuse them, well, what do they know? Now, at the same time, Joe, the number one profession that homeschools or sends their children to Christian or private schools are public educators.
Right, the teachers themselves.
Right. And see, if I didn't...
Politicians, oh, and we have to add to that, there are a lot more teachers, though, than politicians, but... The majority of the liberal politicians don't send their children to the public school system either.
No. And so here, again, let's move on here with this. The next one would be, we will not allow our children to be indoctrinated by pedophiles into accepting sodomy and transgender filth. Here in the public schools, where they would bring in drag queens in the public school system. Drag queens.
Yeah.
Here,
little boys, how much fun it was to dress up and wear makeup and, you know, run around in pretty dresses and have everybody tell you how cute you are. And, oh, there were so many disgusting things. We could spend a week.
Yeah, but see, the whole point of this is we will never, ever allow our children to go to a public school system where that takes place. Now, more and more homeschooling is growing rapidly. People are starting to wake up, and the collective realizes this. The collective realizes, wait a minute, maybe we moved a little too early, okay? And so, the collective wants, they hate freedom. They hate freedom, okay? Do you know what is happening right now? Do you know what they're saying on the fake news media? The fake news media out there, they're saying that freedom is simply another word for insurrection. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying.
But,
so, again, all right.
What, we go back to the Fabian socialists. They said words were going to be the weapon of the new warfare, you know, bringing socialism, communism to the Western civilization by changing and shifting words and definitions and meanings. They would hide their true purpose. And also, words were a weapon of warfare. That's what the political correctness was. That's what this woke is, changing the name and definition of things so they control. When you control the definition, you control the narrative, you control the debate.
Absolutely.
It wasn't complicated, was it?
Let's move on. We will not accept the killing of our young military men. And... under the guise of legitimate vaccinations. These are not legitimate vaccinations. These are bioweapons that are being used on our young military men and women. And what is happening? They're getting sick and dying. But that is not a story that you're going to hear by the absolutely, completely, and totally corrupted fake news media, which is referred to as the mainstream media. People like George Stephanopoulos out there and Leslie Stahl, who I watch, and I watch them lie, and I watch them lie, and I watch them lie bold-faced lies. And you know what? Hardly anybody challenges those lies. And when you have Rachel Maddow over there, not only does she lie, but I don't know. I don't want to say it's. There aren't any journalists left. They're gone. You've got shock jocks that have taken their place.
You got a few like Tucker Carlson, and there's a few running around, but they're few and far between.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about in the lamestream, the mainstream.
There are none left there.
Okay, so now here, we will not accept the killing of our police officers just to satisfy the bloodlust of the Antichrist deathocrats. All of a sudden, Nasty Pelosi now, all of a sudden is pro-policeman. Biden, Nasty's out there today saying that AOC, Nasty's going to stand up to AOC, okay? AOC and the squat, they're wrong, and they do not represent us. Now, what is going on there? Because here, remember, they're the Bernie babes. They're the Bernie babes. And now what is happening, they're seeing what is taking place. People are jumping ship. Another one today, another Democratic congresswoman just said she's not going to run again. She's dropping out. So that's number 30 today.
Yeah, well, it's going to get worse because I saw earlier today Mitch McConnell was going after the Louisville Black Lives Matter. They were bailing out a man who tried to murder somebody. Well, wait a minute. Mitch McConnell is criticizing the Black Lives Matter. Why? Because the man they tried to, they were bailing out, tried to murder a politician running for mayor in the city there of Louisville, Kentucky. And guess what? When they found out this guy went into the place where the politician was and started opened fire and wounded several people, and he's been charged with attempted murder, 4 counts of wanton endangerment, but he's already out of jail. He was out with just a few hours because the radical left bailed him out. BLM bailed him out, and they put him out on fairly low bail. But if you start to shoot a politician, that might bring about a change all of a sudden. They might not like this idea of low bail, no bail, if they're shooting politicians. That's
well,
different.
Mitch McConnell, he's only going to go where it's safe for him. Mitch is a rhino. He's
right.
You know, he's a two-horned rhino, and he knows that it looks like he's got his finger up in the air. It looks like the wind is blowing against in a big, big way against the woke movement, against the PC, and so he's gonna take advantage of that. Okay.
I think it was more than that. I think it was just the idea of politician. It's why they got so excited over the insurrection that January 6th, because it was politicians that got scared. It was AOC that had a post-traumatic syndrome problem. It was
she wasn't even there. She was at another place. Yeah.
She still had she got up and told everybody about her post-traumatic syndrome over being afraid that she was going to die. Don't you have any sympathy for somebody like that? I don't.
Yeah. All righty, here you go. We will never, no, not ever, 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 surrender our firearms or our Second Amendment rights.
Amen.
Okay. Like you said, you'll have to pull them out of my cold, dead hands. We're not going to surrender.
Justin, yeah, that was the best, one of the best lines in the whole Second Amendment movement. Yeah.
The founding fathers knew that. Thomas Jefferson says, when the government fears the people, you've got liberty. When the people fear is the government, you got tyranny.
Tyranny.
And that's exactly what you got under Bojida or Joe Biden.
Joe Obama,
you know, this idea, when he came out and thought that, well, he was riding a high, it was time he could get away with it. And when he said that those who are preaching the Bible the old-fashioned way are going to be charged with a hate crime. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I think that woke up some of the pastors. I think that finally woke up some of them.
Yeah.
And I can tell you,
we can keep waking a few of them up, but sometimes what the scripture said, you can't wake the dead.
Well, you know what, Joe? When he did that, it made me even more, absolutely all the more determined to preach heaven sweet and hell hot. And so,
I didn't think that was possible. I think you were automatically programmed that from birth.
I am, but I was more determined to do it even harder. Here we go. We will never, no, not ever, ever, accept the critical race theory or the cancel culture. The cancel culture is going to get canceled. We're not going to, it ain't over with until we win.
Well, we've got the sword of the Lord on our side, don't we?
We certainly do.
We know how to use it.
And remember, those people have got no honor. They've got no integrity. Okay, at all. Like Coca-Cola, for example, they were going to go with the woke movement, and after all, you know, they're getting a lot of sales in China. Say it's called prostitution when you sell yourself, when you sell yourself the way they did that, and you sell out your country and your people. And when Coke went that way, guess what? Coke sales has fallen way, way off, way off. And many, many of the others, too, that have gone out and taken that stand, they've felt it from the people. The people have had enough. So, we are never going to accept critical race theory. We will never, ever accept the cancel culture. We will not be silenced, Joe. We will not be silenced or give up our First Amendment rights to Joe Obama or any other aspiring dictator. And that's exactly why our brothers and sisters to the north in Canada, they're fighting for freedom. It's about freedom. And they have a dictator, Baby Castro up there. Baby Castro is a dictator. And guess what? People have fed up. They're fed up. And he, with that dominion, just like here in America, with the election fraud, with the extreme election fraud defended by those in the fake news media who told the same lie over and over. And we're going to keep bringing it back to them. We're not going to let them get away with it. We're not going to let them get away with it. They, you know, this whole thing, where's the evidence, you know? I mean, we're not going to let them get away with it. And that's why we named those that did that over and over and over, okay? What you do in darkness will be brought to light. And so, no, we're not going to accept that. We never will.
Well, one reason you and I know in that Proverbs 6 that there are seven deadly sins. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. These are the Democratic Party, the Democrats. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Well, we got a list right there of Joe Biden and his whole administration. God has already condemned them.
As for me, and I know that the church that I pastor feels this very same way, and I know that those people out there that are listening to us tonight, most of them, that support us will feel that we will never die, that we will die on our feet before we will live on our knees. We will die on our feet. We will never surrender. We'll be back.
I'm too old to live on my knees. I'm just too old, too stubborn, and I'm not going to change.
We'll be back after this with more. Don't go away.
Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The New World Order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty
or forfeiting our interests.
Scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
No, there's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place.
A new report from special counsel John Durham. Clinton campaign lawyers paid a tech company to infiltrate Trump servers to fabricate a connection between Trump and Russia.
Hillary Clinton broke the law to frame Trump as a Russian traitor.
This is truly unprecedented, truly something that has never happened in the history of our great country.
This is a digital insurrection.
Turns out the Trump-Russian collusion story was just a deflection from the Hillary-Russian collusion story.
Trump was right. Trump was telling the truth.
It was you, Hillary Clinton, who undermined our democracy.
There are people that should go to jail.
Alrighty, we are back, and you know, it's, you know, see, Hillary's out, she's on a circuit, Hillary is very, very worried. What, Durham didn't get the memo, what are you doing continuing, Durham, don't you know who I am? I'm Hillary, I'm the queen.
Queen Hillary.
I'm the queen of mean. Haven't you heard what happens to people that go against me, Durham? And so, anyhow, Durham. I own the FBI.
In Arkansas.
I've got so much on the FBI. They're not going to help you, Durham. I've got too much on all of them. I got too much on those in the CIA. The whole deep state, they're all a part of the cabal, a big part of the coup. And so, don't you understand? You can't win this. Well, wait a minute. The people have had enough, and by God's grace, and we need to pray that God will protect Durham. You know, from the deep state, from the crooked, the dirty cops, the dirty, dirty cops. Speaking of dirty cops, one guy that really goes after him is Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. And he's got something to say here. So go ahead and, Greg, and bring Tom up and let's hear what he has to say.
There's not a better institution in the city and not a better guy and a better hammer than Tom Fitton. Tom, by the way, you're the future FBI. You're a nomination for future DNI or FBI picket or CIA. But maybe you do DNI so you can wrap them both up. Tom,
I'm suspicious that we need either agency, but, you know, I'm a kind of.
hold it. No, that's exactly why we're nominating you, brother. What are you talking about? That's I want that in the confirmation hearing. What do you mean? We got a minute. We're holding you through the break. Fitton. To get us up to, you've done more. I got Fitton and then Solomon, the two guys that have done more on this than anybody. Fitton, walk us through what happened on Saturday, these announcements in regards to Judicial Watch's investigation.
Well, we know Hillary did it. We've always known that. We know we did it. She did it to protect herself from the emails. Now we know that the Obama administration, someone it looks like, gave her gang the keys to the Trump White House, practically speaking, and allowed her operation to have an insight into the operations of the executive office of the president, and then share the fruits of all of that work, according to what Durham is suggesting, with the CIA. I'm not aware of the CIA, Steve, objecting or highlighting or blowing the whistle on that criminality. Instead, they took it as part of the parcel they were using to go after Trump and overthrow him. This is further evidence of the coup involving not only Hillary, but these other government agencies. And what the accountability we need from Durham, it's important he gets people like Sussman and company. But I'm still waiting for the overlords of the deep state to face accountability through this Durham process, but we'll see.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Tom, you said something in kidding, but I mean, look, I think, and I know the president, Trump, thinks so highly of you. Right. And Judicial Watch has done such a magnificent job on the resources that you guys have, what you've done. It's the People's Justice Department. Seriously, the FBI and the CIA, you saw the domestic terrorism notification they put out last week. I mean, what are your thoughts about that, about actually having an FBI or CIA?
Oh, I think the FBI needs to be radically remade, maybe dismantled. Given its horrible record in protecting the homeland and abusing the powers entrusted to it by the American people. And of course, it's a creature of the Justice Department, which has long been a locus of evil when it comes to public policy in our federal government. I mean, these agencies are no friend of liberty. And, you know, under the best of circumstances, they barely are able to do their jobs. And then you see the HHS and the associated entities start targeting tens of millions of Americans as terrorists. I mean, we're worried about what Trudeau is doing. He's following Biden's lead in targeting his political opposition and just labeling terrorists out of the get-go, out of the box. It's just incredible. And these agencies, they were horrible under Trump. And under Biden, I think, you know, all bets are off in terms of the you know, they're completely unleashed because Biden isn't really running the government. So it's a free-for-all in terms of attacks on our civil liberties and threats and intimidation.
Mark Elias, look, he's around fighting rearguard actions all over the country to try to, you know, the Democrats can't win unless they cheat, right? They either have to have mail-in ballots that you can't verify. You got to have uncertifiable ballots, the ballot harvesting, all of it, okay, all of it. And Mark Elias sitting there, he's fighting the redistricting that should come about. He ain't up in New York trying to get an even match there, although Kathleen Rice just resigned. Suck on that, Mark Elias. This is another district. We're going to blow him out. Elias, he was Hillary Clinton's, there was like Don McGahn to me, right? Don McGahn was our chief counsel on the campaign. This is why we had everything set after the victory in 16. It was bulletproof. They couldn't come and contest any of that, although they were tight wins in Michigan and Wisconsin and even in Pennsylvania. But Mark Elias was the head guy. Is Mark Elias going to get wrapped up in this thing? I mean, didn't Sussman report to him? Isn't Sussman his grundoon?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, it was Sussman who went to the meetings and gave, evidently, according to Durham, the false information to both the FBI and the CIA. And magically, Elias wasn't at those meetings. So I'm sure Sussman's wondering, why am I the only guy on the dock here? And maybe because he committed the crime that Durham can prove most easily. And we'll see if Elias gets a pass. Reportedly, he's testified already to a grand jury. You know, you also have to remember, Elias didn't just represent Clinton, and the firm generally didn't just represent Clinton. It was the Democratic National Committee's firm, and it was DNC party money that was also partly funding this operation against Trump. So you not only had Clinton pushing this, you had the DNC, at least on the Fusion GPS side, evidently providing money for that operation. And of course, it was a joint operation with the FBI because they were also paying Christopher Steele through their campaign. And then they told him, and then they started leaking material about the investigation of Trump that they had concocted to Steele, even though they knew he worked for Hillary. And of course, that was leaked almost immediately. You know, I don't know what's worse, Steve. I mean, is it worse that Hillary was abusing the law to spy on Trump, or that our FBI and other federal agencies were, with the acquiescence and, frankly, endorsement of Obama and company? I don't know what's worse. I tend to think
it's definitely the second. It's the second. It's definitely worse. Hillary's a crook. We know that. That mafia. I mean, Tom, you and I worked in that for 10 years, right? To go after the Clinton regime. When I was at Breitbart and you were at Judicial Watch, I mean, we had those weekly. We expect that out of the Clintons. They're mafia. We got that. I'm talking about the administrative state. Like I said, I don't call it a deep state because it's in your grill, and you've done more than anybody exposes. Just walk us through. I got a couple minutes. I got the process here, because we can't depend upon Durham. God bless him. Whatever he's doing, it'll be whatever it is. But once we take power in November this year, with the House, what is Tom Fitton? What are the one or two things that have to happen immediately to start to get this scum out of these major institutions, the FBI, the CIA, the National Security State, DOJ?
Well, under the current Republican leadership, nothing's going to get done. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I've been around too long to pretend that the same group that allowed it to go on during Trump's years are going to turn on a dime and stop it during the Biden administration. And even if they wanted to stop it, they couldn't get documents from the Trump administration with the way DOJ and others were operating. So I don't expect much. I think what we need to focus on is ensuring that senior government officials who committed crimes are convicted and sent to jail. I mean, we talk about all this crime wave in our urban areas, and we rightly say, well, it's happening because people aren't being punished appropriately. People are being let onto the streets. So why would we be surprised that any of this is going to stop as long as these folks are able to operate free and clear? I mean, the Sussman indictment's important in that regard. But, you know, Comey was given a free pass by Barr. you know, Hillary was given a free pass by, frankly, both the Obama Justice Department and the Trump Justice Department. So why would she stop? I would think this is all going to accelerate, even if Republicans take over. I really do. And one short term thing that can be done, I think, to kind of push things along is to get the process going against the President Biden's corruption. One of the scandals of our time is that there's no special counsel for Joe Biden. I mean, we were all supposed to be falling on the floor at the idea of a conflict of interest in the Justice Department investigating the president. Well, his son is under criminal investigation. He's implicated. The evidence is he was in on it. And there's no special counsel. So Garland's obstructing justice by refusing to appoint a special counsel. And once that special counsel gets going, maybe in 3 years we'll get some redress like Durham has done. I'm pleased Durham's finally doing something. But boy, is it late. Is it late in the game?
Tom, how do people get to you, social media? How do they get to Judicial Watch? How do they learn more about it? Because you guys represent
the best institutions
in the city.
We are Getter, Rumble Video, Telegram, YouTube, Facebook. You know, we've been censored and targeted and suppressed. So we ain't going anywhere. And, people not only need to support Judicial Watch, but they need to read the material. I mean, I've got a book, A Republic Under Assault, that nicely summarizes the findings we had on these issues. I mean, what we're hearing about now is awful, but what we already know is even worse. So let's not forget that. The FBI and Hillary Clinton, with the support of Obama and Biden and Comey and all the rest, targeted Trump knowing he was innocent. Nothing like that has happened in American history before in terms of the using our national security apparatus to target a candidate and then president like it happened with Trump. And there's got to be accountability for it because our country's at stake. The name of the book is Republic Under Assault. Our republic is tottering, Steve.
Yeah. Let's get this. It was not, we're not going to lose this as long as we got fighters like you. I got to say something, too. You talk about accountability. She's addressing the New York like state party convention because she's gearing up for 2024. They understand they can't put Biden up again. Hillary's back. It's like those vampire movies the kids watch, right? The vampire never gets killed, right?
She's never left.
Stake in the heart.
She's never left. Obama never left. Hillary never left. I used to joke about the Trump administration in the early days. I was always waiting for it to come to power because it was too often the Obama administration seemingly still running things.
That was the great memo that was done. We had 90 Obama appointees over at the National Security Council. Tom, I appreciate you coming on. Fantastic. You're a patriot, a hero, and a warrior.
All righty, we are back, and here you go. New docs reveal tech firm used by Hillary to illegally spy on Trump's internet activity was also on Biden's campaign payroll. Newly released Federal Election Commission records obtained by the Washington Free Beacon reveal that the 2020 Biden for President campaign employed the service of the same cybersecurity firm that Hillary Clinton reportedly used to illegally spy on Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign for presidency. Neustar Information Services, which is one of the main players of the Center for Special Counsel with John Durham's investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russiagate hoax, was paid nearly $20,000 in 2020 for accounting and accomplished work for Biden campaign and the documents revealed. The questionable payments immediately raised questions about whether the snooping on Trump continued in the most recent election, especially considering the fact that Biden and Clinton campaigns are the only two presidential campaigns to ever have paid for company services, according to the Washington Free Beacon. There you go. We have John McTurnan has joined us now.
Hey.
And so, are you there?
Big John.
Are you there, Big John? Where's John at? John, are you there? Are you awake? No, I should say awake.
I can't hear him.
I can't hear him either. Do
I think we better, Mr. Engineer, sir?
John, can you pick him up on your end there, Craig, and see?
Well, okay. You're doing that. I'd like to tell folks, you were talking about our Department of Injustice. We've got Senators Grassley and Senator Johnson. They're going after Attorney General Merrick Garland because he has failed to follow the orders. Donald Trump, remember, ordered the Justice Department to declassify all records related to the FBI's original Trump-Russia probe that, you know, crossfire. Hurricane, and to all those that could be released. And, you know, here it is. It's a year later, or longer than that now. Not one single page has been released from the Department of Judas. So when we talk about this insurrection, the only insurrection is our own government against the people of the United States. That's where the insurrection is.
See, that's the problem. We don't have a government anymore.
Right.
Not we, the people. It's the deep state. And here, you're right, but we've been telling people all along, you know, this. Look, Biden is, he's begging the courts not to bring out the evidence on Dominion.
Right.
Not to be, you know, it can not only hurt us here. It'll just make people angry. It won't do any good. There's no sense in bringing all that. People don't need, you know, if you bring that out, it's liable to affect the next election. So you need to keep it quiet.
Sure would. It might bring some honesty to the next election process. Well, we can't have that, Pastor Ernie.
Well, not only that, but, you know, that he's saying how that could affect our neighbors to the north, Canada, too. Seems like Dominion was very busy, huh?
Yeah, very busy. Speaking of that, I've got a story I've got to get out or I'll just go screaming nuts. We were talking earlier about getting your children out of the public pool system. Well, here it is. In Canada, they have a group called the News Literacy Program. And they've been teaching the children in Canada that those Canadian truckers are supported by Nazis promoting violence. Yep. The Canadian truckers are rooted in extremism. They're overstating their size, their popularity. They're supported by fake accounts with ties to foreign content mills. Yeah, this is a report from the RARE Foundation USA. This literacy program claims 37,000 educators, propagandists, really, use their Checkology online platform. And basically, RARE says it teaches school children how to be mindless leftist narrative consumers, and that this news literacy program warns all kinds of misinformation. In other words, anytime somebody tells the truth, they rush in and email mass emails all over Canada about the lies and misinformation. And this is going on, and I've got pages of this, but basically they've said some really bad things, calling them an extremist group, and they're doing mass emails. And again, these guys are running around with swastika and swastika flags, calling for violence, everything you can think of. They're displaying hate symbols. They have anti-Semitic writings. They're carrying around U.S. Confederate flags. You know, they're going to be violent, and just on and on and on. So they're using the school system to brainwash the little Canadian children, just like they're doing in the public school system here, to brainwash them against any Christians or conservative thoughts. And, well, at the same time, what Trudeau said, now Canada is beginning freezing bank accounts for anybody donating to the truckers. And they've already started freezing accounts of people who have helped financially support this protest. And the Royal Canadian Police has shared with the banks names of individuals and entities, as well as any of the cryptocurrency wallets. And they're going to freeze a lot more. In fact, they said crowdfunding platforms, service payment providers, started the registration with the Canadian government, and any bank, any investment firm, any credit union, loan company, security dealer, any platform or payment clearing service must freeze the account of anyone who possesses or controls property of a person who is attending an illegal protest or providing any supplies. So if you bring food, water, fuel, firewood, anything, they can freeze any account you have from all of those
places. All right, we're going to be taking a look at that here. We're going to hear from a group of Canadian lawyers, and they've got a message for the police department. And then we're going to hear from one of their constitutional law professors there, the one of the best known in Canada.
Because I can tell you right now, I know that this is against the Canadian law. This is,
I know it is,
and we're, against their constitution.
We're going to hear from some of those lawmakers, and John McTernan is back. Are you there, John?
Yes. John, yes, Pastor. I'm having trouble getting in tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, we finally got you here now.
Yeah, you got in out of the storm, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I got in, and it would drop. The call would drop.
Yeah. Well, he's not here. He's out in Texas. You know, we're having it up here. The ice. I don't know.
Here in Missouri.
You got an ice storm too?
Yep.
Oh, it's pretty. It's nasty. And like John didn't know, but little Lisa fell and whacked her head. And so we're going to suspend Pledge Week until next week. We're going to pick it up next week because they're predicting for us to get 8 to 12 inches of more snow out here. And, again, I don't want to have to, you know, endanger the folks that man the phones and that to get them in there. It's just not worth it. So, and we do have another place to, well, we have a remote station that we can go to that we don't have to travel over the icy roads and we can hook up, which helps us. Now, Trudeau labels a Jewish MP a Nazi, won't apologize, claims he's protecting Canadians' freedoms by stripping their freedoms away from them. He ignores that his deputy prime minister's grandfather was a Nazi. That's right. That's what Mr. Trudeau does. And so AP Melissa Lotzman called out Trudeau on his freedom-taking tyrannical emergency order put in place to shut down the protest against the government's tyrannical COVID mandates for prime minister, responded by calling the MP as a Nazi. Now, Trudeau was asked to retract the statement calling conservatives Nazis, and he would not do it. What does that sound like, calling conservatives Nazis? Does that sound like Joe Obama? Sounds
like
Joe Obama.
Joe Obama, yeah.
Instead, he claimed that he was working for the freedoms of the Canadians. They were the very thing that the protesters were criticizing him for not doing. The protesters started a response to Canada's outrageous COVID matters. John, we had Tom Fitton on. We just played a clip with Tom Fitton, and he sounded just like you where it comes to the dirty cops, the deep state cops. So,
well, I worked inside Pastor Ernie and, you know, and could see it. And he's constantly dealing with the FBI and other agencies, Freedom of Information Act requests and all.
Hang tight, so John. We're up against a hard break. Hold it right there. We'll be back right after this. Let's pick it up right there where you're at. Be right back for more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.